Did you know today is the Sunday of joy?
Well, what about
Surely, that? I mean, did you guys worked that out really well. Did you do that on purpose?
Yes, we did.
You did. I need to take lessons from you. I need to take lessons from you. That's good planning. That was wonderful. Beautiful. Thank you. And so appropriate. We got the candle of joy. Sandra's got the pink on. I got pink on. See, sometimes I'm able. Look, Bryn's got pink on. Sometimes I'm able to fulfill expectations. Most of the time, not. I remember some of you know I used to be involved with the camp program pretty heavily. I used to do the canoe camps and do all that. And I remember one time we were, you know, going down the Silver River and you know, the campers are fourth grade, stuff like that, you know. And you got to load up all the canoes. There's like 14 canoes, you know, and you got to keep them all straight and keep them all away, you know. And there's alligators and they're all worried about that. And, you know, but we're in a 14-foot canoe, you know. A 6-foot gator ain't going after a 14-foot canoe. So, you're doing all of that. But anyway, so one of the girls was asking me, she goes, "Do you do this all the time?" And I go, "Yep, every summer." And she goes, and you know all about that? I go, "Yeah." And she goes, "And you do this all the time." She kept saying that, "You do this all the time." And I'm like, "Yeah, Marcia, I do this all the time." She goes, "Well, you think your arms would be bigger?" You're like, oh okay. Thank you for that. You know, we have expectations sometimes. And in our passage today, John is struggling with expectations. All right, normally, we were talking about this in Bible study. Normally conversion stories go, "I was lost, then I was found. I was blind, now I see." You know how it goes. "My life was a mess, now it's all together." But see, for John has a reverse conversion story going on here. If you know anything about John the Baptist, then you know an angel came. His birth was miraculous. All right? Zechariah and Elizabeth were kind of like Abraham and Sarah of the New Testament. They were way too old, way past the time of having kids. And yet an angel came to Zechariah and said, "You're going to have a baby. You're going to have a child." Remember how that worked out, okay? And remember, when John is in the womb, remember that? And he's in his mom's womb, in Elizabeth's womb, and Mary comes to see Elizabeth, and what happens? Even in the womb, John the Baptist recognizes Jesus, recognizes his Lord. And Elizabeth even says, "He leapt for joy. I felt the joy." John the Baptist always knew God. From the womb, knew God. Before he was born, part of God's plan. John gets born. You know how the story goes with John. You know how he is. Here is a man driven by God, obsessed with God, faithful to God, willing to do whatever God asks him to do. He goes out in the wilderness, for goodness sakes. Out in the wilderness, the desert, he's wearing camel skins. He's got a little leather girdle. He eats grasshoppers. Cool. And he preaches the word of truth. He's not afraid to call people down. He does it all the time. If you've read the Gospels, if you've heard John's preaching, you know he tells, it doesn't matter, you're a soldier, quit robbing people. You want to get baptized? Change your life. He's none of these little mamby-pamby preachers. No. You change it and you get it right. Show fruit. Show your faithfulness in your action. That's John. It doesn't matter who he's talking to. When the religious leaders come, what does he say? He calls them out. "You brood of vipers." Seriously. He is a man who is not afraid. Calls out the truth. In fact, he's in prison because he was willing to tell the king, "You are perverted. You are an adulterer. You are faithless." Well, the king was like, And the king's wife was having none of it. You put that boy in prison now. That's why he was in prison. That's why he was in prison. He challenged the powers to be by speaking the truth. This is not a man who ever showed fear, never blinked, always knew what God wanted him to do. But now he's having his moment of crisis. We all have them. We don't always admit to them, but we all have a moment of crisis, of doubt, and that's what's happening now for John. He's going through his crisis of doubt because he's been preaching what God told him to say. And yet what he sees out there isn't going on that way at all. He already knows that Jesus is the Messiah. He recognized him when he was in a womb. Recognized him at he baptized Jesus. They're cousins, for goodness sakes. Just a few months of separating them from age. He knows who Jesus is. But he doesn't see Jesus carrying the axe. He doesn't see Jesus carrying the flame. And he's been preaching. Even now the axe is laid at the root of the tree. Bear fruits of the repentance. He's been preaching. And he's not seeing any action. And now he's in prison. And so he's having his crisis of faith. And he sends a couple of his disciples. And says, go ask Jesus. Are you the one? Or are we supposed to look for another? You know how that can go sometimes? People want to know if something's real. You know how that is? We're in a season right now where a lot of times you get asked that question. Is that the real Santa? You ever get asked that question? Is that the real Santa? John's asking Jesus, are you the real Messiah? Are you the real Messiah? I remember when, some of you know, the way we became a family. What a wonderful blessing that was, but totally unexpected. It did not fulfill any expectation that I had, but what a wonderful blessing. But I remember helping other people when they were planning out their lives and looking for children. And some of you know, we fostered for 8.5 years. And I would, part of that story was the fact that there was such a tremendous need out there. And people were struggling about that. And they go, but I want to have a real kid. Well, I'm like, oh, this is too bad. I got to go home and tell my kids they're not real. I'm sorry, you're fake kids. Not real. It's not real. You see? John is struggling because it's not. Why? Because God's not acting the way he wants God to act. Do you ever have a prayer like that? You ever told God the task and say, hey, you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. I'm not either, but you're God. You should be. You're supposed to be better at it than I am. And if you're not, just give me the universal remote. I'll take care of things. I'll set it straight. I'll be right with this. Because we want to see truth and we want to see justice and we want to see God revealed. And so many times, though we have limited vision of how that is supposed to be. We don't always get the story right. Do you remember the story? Yes, you do. Do you remember the movie The Princess Bride? Yes. Just pretend. Lie. Yes. Lie. Yes. It's not like you haven't lied to me before. Remember the grandfather reading the book to the son? The grandson, remember? And you know, he's bored at first, but then he kind of gets caught up in the story, and he's getting caught up, and Princess Buttercup is all set to marry Humperdinck. Remember that? Prince Humperdinck. And the grandfather's reading the story, and the boy says, no, wait, Grandpa, that's not right. You're not reading the story right. And the grandfather said, what are you talking about? Yeah, I am. He goes, no, that can't be right. She doesn't marry Humperdinck. That wouldn't be right after all that Wesley's done for her. It wouldn't be fair. Remember what the grandpa says? Well, who said life is supposed to be fair? Where is that written? That's not in the book. Remember? And the grandson's so upset. Grandpa, that can't be right. Who gets Humperdinck? What do you mean, who gets Humperdinck? Who kills Humperdinck? Somebody's got it. Is it Inigo? Does Inigo kill him? No. Nobody kills him. What? Jesus! He even said, Jesus, Grandpa! What are you reading me this story for? He can't understand how someone so evil is allowed to continue to live. He's looking for fairness in an unfair world. And he's missing love, missing grace. That happens. It happens all the time. We hear it in a story. We see it in the movie. I remember, the Wizard of Oz? Mm-hmm. Yes, I know you saw the Wizard of Oz, okay? Flying monkeys, very scary. Very scary part of it. But if you know the story, you know how that goes, okay? And when I was growing up, of course, we only had a black and white TV, but they told you the beginning of the movie was in black and white. We're like, well, okay, they're all in black and white, but okay, it's in black and white. And then it's going to go back to black and white. And if you know, if you've ever seen the movie, you know how that goes, all right? There's Dorothy, and she keeps thinking, if I could get someplace else, if only this could happen, the world would be so much better, life would be so much more beautiful. If I could, you know how that goes. All of us have sung that song, Somewhere Over the Rainbow. We've all sung it in different ways. If only, if only, if only. And it happens for her. She gets transported beyond the rainbow. And it's unbelievably beautiful. Remember in the movie? Everything's in color. And there in the land of Oz, not only is it a wonderful land of color, but there are talking tin men and dancing scarecrows. It's a land of magic and fantasy and unbelievableness. Remember how that goes. But what happens at the end of the movie? She comes back home. Gets back in Kansas. And there's no talking tin men in Kansas. And there's no dancing scarecrows in Kansas. And Kansas, again, is in black and white. There is no color. But her perspective of Kansas has totally changed. Totally changed. When John's disciples come to Jesus with the questions, Jesus doesn't scold John for questioning. He doesn't get after John. Put on your big boy pants. What the heck's the matter with you? Show your stuff. No, he doesn't say man up. He says tell the stories. Tell the stories. Tell what you see. Tell what you hear. Share the good news. That's what Jesus says. When someone is locked up in a prison of doubt, they don't need us to come in and tell them to buck up. They need to hear a story of healing and grace and hope and love, even if that story never gets to be their own. Because if you know how it ends, it does not end happily ever after for John. He ends up beheaded by a tyrant who is afraid of the truth. But for that moment, that disillusionment of God's activity in the world is taken away. Sometimes we get so wrapped up in our illusions of how we think should be, we become disillusioned. And Jesus offers us a true vision of how God is working in the world. Go and tell John. The blind are receiving sight. The deaf are hearing. The lame are dancing. The poor are having good news. God is working in the world. God is alive and well. God is offering to all of us a vision not an illusion of the kingdom, not in the far-off future over the rainbow, but here and now. And we are commanded to tell the stories. Tell people what we see. Tell people what we hear. Tell people what we ourselves have experienced. Hope, love, and grace. Amen.
Amen. Amen.